Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run, your drive time show on Eagle FM. And joining you, of course, is Helmut and Dwight. And today is one of my most favorite and least favorite topic all at the same time.
Helmut, if I add anything into that, I will laugh and cry at the same time.
It has a way of giving you, mixed feelings. Now, some reasons we don't have a poster, do we?
No.
Yeah, we'll be, our poster. we'll basically lay the foundation. Today's discussion, our goal was to center it around, agro-processing. And, agro-processing is obviously on our bucket list towards achieving our industrialization goal. Now, because of that, since we are in the process of putting everything together as you can imagine, we have a lot of projects going on, to try and, as we try to accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
But, now, this is where Parliamentary Standing Committee and National Council reports now come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was about to correct you that it's actually national, but then you added, but it's actually good. But here's the thing, Helmut.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners to ask a question, if they have this question.
Yeah.
The current National Council is still valid until end of this year before the next elections.
Yeah.
Which is also going to happen later this year. So if you guys are asking, what kind of reports are we looking at? This is National Council, not Parliament or National Assembly. Because the National Assembly guys, they only commissioned or assembled their committees, I think 2 weeks back. Before their recess that ends next week. So Parliament opens up again next week.
Yeah.
National Assembly opens again. So the newest standing committees for the National Assembly are set. This is obviously continuous work that the National Council has been doing up until November this year.
Mm-hmm.
So just so the people know, that's where we are. So they don't get confused. It's the lower houses guys that are still doing 2024 to 2025 work. Just so the people are sure,
for the 100th time, the National Council is the upper one.
Is it the upper one?
The National Assembly is the lower one.
Serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A shame.
I know. Look, it's like one of those things that always, got me when it comes to labeling, the heart in biology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left atrium is on the right. Right atrium is on the left. And now,
oh yeah, that was the other thing. And then obviously also the chambers of the heart.
The chambers, the ventricles.
You still remember your names? I just know that thing is a muscle and it sits there, not in the center of your chest, not in the middle of your chest, of your abdomen. It sits left-ish.
I thought I was the only one who thought for a very long time that it was, in the middle. Then you show up in a biology class and find out that
it's a lot closer to the left lung.
Yeah, to the left. It's actually, that's the reason why your left lung is smaller than the right one. Because it had to make room for the pump. Man, I'm telling you, the plumbing system is amazing.
But the lungs are also a pump system. Do you know that?
The pump? What are they pumping? Do lungs even have a blood system? Okay, agro-processing. Now, where were we? Agro-processing, one of the reasons why this is my favorite subject is because it sounds familiar to manifesto of political parties, I won't mention.
We've got to leave those people alone now.
I know,
last year's elections is in last year.
Nah, this, what type of a Namibian are you?
No, we can't go on brying people 50 times on the same side.
Yeah, you know, uh, you know, uh, uh, processing plant in every constituency, you know, we are looking at, well, Zambezi Brim, somewhere in the Zambezi.
Yeah.
And, a bunch of, Kuroda leather processing plant somewhere in the Zambezi and the Kavangos throw in Kunene and a little bit of Msati in there. And, maybe depends on what you want to process. You can a couple of German Shepherds and Chihuahua somewhere in the north. But, the point is, I chose violence on this one, but now, agro-processing,
yeah.
Would be a great start before we go to, just flat out machinery. Because if you look at, food processing plants, from raw material into the finished products or more like packaged products that we see in our grocery aisles on a daily basis, that's much easier compared to, for example, venturing into the type of manufacturing, machines like engines, for example, or electronic components like microchips.
Yeah.
So if you have to pick, if I was asked which one we should go for first, because it's much easier in comparison, agro processing would be the way to go. Not only because of the, skills required, but also because of the, the type of technology that's required in terms of intellectual property. Because if you look into chip manufacturing or chip making, for example, the technology is super sophisticated. That's one. That means you need a lot of skills that will take a lot, a long time to put together. And also, you'll have to be in very good terms with the Dutch and the Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you to get access to that technology. There's one company that makes call it a 3D printing machine to literally more like 3D print your computer chips. And that, that company is, there's only one. And it's Dutch. And the expertise, like top-notch expertise of more like 3D printing computer chips, is mostly based in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So TSMC is basically running a monopoly on that one. So getting, venturing into that direction industrial wise will be, a ginormous task that will take a very long time for us to pull off. And before you even get to the intellectual property, let's just look at the skills wise.
On the ground. Can I scare you with a small story that I saw on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show last week?
Please do.
So, you know that Jon Stewart's show is technically like an hour long. The first half is obviously their particular subject matter, the theme. Mm-hmm. The second half is when they've got a guest in studio.
Yeah.
One of his guests that day was a journalist / researcher who wrote a book about how Apple technically, basically championed and developed and grew the Chinese manufacturing sector.
Because of assembling all their products in China? Or?
Not just that. That's just the 1% of the story. So this guy, the book that he wrote, which actually came out a little bit earlier this year, or at the start of this month, or end of last month, wrote this particular book looking at what role did Apple play in technically building up China to the position that it is today.
Yeah.
Apple tech-wise. Manufacturing-wise.
Manufacturing-wise, yeah.
So, you remember the fake and counterfeit issue products and stuff like that? Remember when you explained that discussion last year and earlier this year about the mobile phones that get stolen in Europe and other parts of the world, yeah. Get repurposed,
refurbished in China.
Shipped some.
So Ventuk Beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arno's. It doesn't get more real than that. As Ventuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Welcome back. It's 15 to the hour of 15 minutes to the hour of 5. On your mark, set, ready, go.
So it was a discussion that happened just before the Great Recession, the 2008-2009 financial crash.
Yeah.
Something happened in China because Apple was growing extensively in market share. And then, you know, nefarious entities usually in the economy, like what you call it, counterfeit guys, these guys that deal with counterfeit products and the likes, realized that there was a lucrative industry. Apple products were, Apple market share was growing, but Apple was actually just getting a small percentage of that growth. Yeah. They actually were seeing a small percentage, a smallest percentage vis-a-vis the growth that they were seeing in the market.
Yeah.
This was based upon counterfeit guys that were buying large-scale purchases. You know, it's something that I heard once from one of my siblings from the 90s and also from the 2000s, what used to happen when we had Angolan tourists coming to Namibia. And you will still see them doing this in some clothing stores. They would show up, Helmut. They would cause a backlog of a queue in the shop because now it's just women most of the time because the women are buying 4 or 5 of every size.
What?
Have you never seen that?
Nope. I don't shop a lot.
Okay, I made the mistake of walking to Mr. Price at Marua Mall. And I just wanted to buy, you know, it was a pretty small garment at the end of the month.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to replace something that just recently got torn from wear and tear, obviously. So I walk in and it's these long sleeve t-shirts. I just take 2 of them because they're pretty affordable in that shop. The line is long, bro, but it's literally like the 20th or something in the month. I was like asking a question. It's like, why is this?
That's something.
Why is this line so long?
At the end of the month, yeah.
Yeah. Why is this line so long? So, 2 tills on each side of the payment bay, because they have their payment station in the middle of the shop, was backlogged or was technically, if you can use the word, stopped up, because it was, you know, it's consumers that came from Angola who wanted to buy things and they saw, oh wow, these prices are so good.
Affordable, yeah.
And they're standing literally with like 2-3 of these particular, what you call it, shopping trolleys or something filled to the brim with clothing and clothing garments.
You.
So now they're either buying for the whole family or they're buying in a large quantity.
Yeah.
And the attendants had to open up a new till.
For
everyone else who just had 1 or 2 things to come and buy. So it goes through like that. Now imagine the same setting as what happened with Apple in China. So counterfeit guys or guys that were in the counterfeit market, I won't say it's like organized crime, but it is technically like organized crime.
Yeah.
They were buying in large quantities Apple phones, the first Apple iPhone. Mm-hmm. They were buying in large quantities the phone. And then they go sell them off at a way cheaper price into the market.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but they are living off of someone else's product. They don't manufacture anything. They don't have any distribution points, but they're selling something that they're buying at a cheaper price. And people are technically viral marketing. It was one of the first instances of successful viral marketing. And so the phone or the product gets larger prominence in the economy, and consumers see it, but the consumers aren't buying from your distribution or your verified distribution points.
Like going through a back door or something?
Yeah, they're accessing it from other places, which the sales cannot be immediately tallied. That's where you make estimations, because all you see is that somewhere things are being sold, but on the ground where you are trying to tally back or trying to recuperate the true costs, the thing is not being does not reflect anywhere in your overall income or revenue streams. Things lead to one or the other. Apple hears about this particular development. They try to stop it. A negative thing happens. Market share starts plummeting because then these counterfeit guys go like, oh, if you're trying to hurt us, we'll hurt you back.
Buying.
Yeah. So The aim of that particular, the aim of that particular story that I wanted to tell you, Helmut, was that the private sector has the potential to build up a country's, industrial complex in light or technically in the respect to our discussion today. Mm-hmm. Remember back on, in January, we also discussed about this discussion about understanding what is the first thing we need to achieve our industrialization, levels.
Yeah.
And we need the soft industries. Obviously, you started off with Taiwan, China, the Netherlands, you know, what's the word they use? Semiconductor manufacturing.
Yeah.
But for you to get there, you needed to build from something.
Yeah.
Because you can't just expect, Namibians today to understand how, what it feels like to work a 15 hour shift on a factory floor. If none of us have worked a 15 hour shift.
Nope.
Continuously, or you don't have like some of the Amazon, and that's just a service that's an augmented service dimension of industrialization, like the Amazon factory workers, because they're technically just people that sort and ensure that certain details are in order, and then you go from there. Where they don't even have toilet breaks, you're timed on your toilet
break. Being criticized on that,
you are timed in Amazon on your toilet breaks. If I don't even want to know if you accidentally ate something by mistake and you are really in trouble that day and you only have a five minute toilet break, Helmut. And your 5 minute break starts the moment you walk away from the position where you are.
Look, the thing about biology is I don't care who your boss is. Diarrhea will keep you there for more than 5 minutes.
I know. But the downside is people have been fired over toilet breaks in the US.
What about, what about labor laws do you have to, for firing someone for, you know, over a toilet break?
Well, the country that brought us labor laws, labor unions, May Day, Workers' Day, is literally the country that allowed its private sector to dismantle all those particular things.
Deregulations.
Yeah. So when you get to the discussion, Helmut, of looking at industrialization, there are small incremental steps associated to your agricultural processes that you're supposed to achieve. Long story short, as we obviously are going to look at this report. Now, this is where I'd like to say there's a lot of hit and misses in this report. There's a hit. You know what to do. The miss comes, for example, like in cricket, when you try to hit the ball. It's a swing and a miss. There's a term that they call a swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they call that usually a dot ball because you're supposed to be able to make, to have some sort of a, achieve some sort of a return on investment from the swing that you take as a batsman in cricket. Mm. Now, it's obviously a benefit for the bowler because the bowler is trying to make sure that you don't hit the ball, Helmut. Now, imagine where this is literally the same people, you know, the bowler is the same person, the batsman is the same person, and you are, because that ultimately is what this report is about.
Yeah.
The government literally being a active participant in industrialization of Namibia and also being a service provider in this industrialization process. And the service provision dimension takes multiple, has multiple aspects or multiple sides to it. And we can start in Kietmans. That's where I started laughing actually. Frank Kietmans, we can go to Nkurunkuru.
Let's start with Kietmans and we start with Nkurunkuru.
Well, Kietmans is automatically first, Helmut.
Because the Nkurunkuru discussion is going to take us to the, is going to take us back to the capital projects discussion.
But it's also going to tie in specifically like, in a straight line as they traveled from Zambezi. I think they went from Kavango west or east first, then to Zambezi, and then they went into the, in, they went Ochotonchupa, Kavango east, no, Kavango west, and then Zambezi. That's how they traveled this particular standing committee.
Yeah.
So the important thing is for us to also understand ultimately what's really going on the ground between the regional councils and Namibia's industrial ambitions. But yeah, Helmut, Kietmans, what it is, the Karas region. Let's start there.
Oh, dear Lord.
The goal was to, this report, there are a few things that are mixing up with between this report and the one for capital projects. They are similar in many ways. Mm. And, one thing that I basically saw was that, okay, first of all, before this National Council Committee went out in the field, they had to do consultations with NITA and the Ministry of Information and Technology. Mm. Now, then you see a lot of, especially on the regional level, a lot of, I'll just call it finger pointing at this point.
Yeah.
Over why they have not been progress, especially, you see a list of projects that are all, halted.
Mm.
Yeah, more like, not really halted, more like, incomplete, or just straight up halted.
Yeah.
All sinker. I was like, obviously, when it comes to the process, my favorite part being the recommendations. Fence a tannery as soon as possible. And the first thing that comes in my head is, okay, now, if you want them to fence it in as soon as possible, procurement procedures and the Ushakatedo keeps popping up. Erecting a fence is more complicated, if you ask me, than replacing a door, unless that door is electronic.
Yep.
But, well, what do I know? So, I'm stuck on the Oshana regions. Just this, all the way. Setting all that aside.
Mm.
Let me run through the reason why I decided to point out, the skills wise using TSMC as an example.
Mm.
Because if you go back to the standing committee example, just straight to page 34, the first thing you find there is, minus the terrible attendance, of the leaders for these consultations, is that there is a garment factory that was opened inaugurated in 2022.
In Nkurunkuru.
Yeah. And it's still standing still.
Do you know what's the worst part? The committee members say the garment factory is still not producing anything. No, the garment factory has no one in it. Except for the people protecting it. Meaning the security guards there are technically the only people they could find on site. Now, what Namibians have to realize is this is the second, that this seems like we are trying to restart a second kind of Aramatex.
This is Pejo Aramatex, the same thing that you see. And by the way, it's not the only one.
Mm.
The tannery, is that, the Oshana region.
Yeah.
Even the halting of operations, I don't think was done procedurally because they still have, it's more like, people just in the middle of operation decided to switch everything off with, with tanks full of water and, and the hide still stuck in some, still stuck in some tanks.
Mm.
And it's, the fear from the committee is that it's going to cause damage to the machines.
But it's not just that.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last.
Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
We didn't learn anything from Peugeot.
No, clearly not. This whole report is not about learning from Peugeot.
You know what? Let me just...
You were still on the aspect of the tannery.
The tannery. Which is why one of the, on the tannery, on the tannery now, one of the recommendations from the standing,
on Dangwa tannery.
On Dangwa tannery. One of the recommendations they made was, at least first of all, empty the tanks, because obviously they are damaging the tanks.
Well.
There's still standing water in there.
Yes, and in that water is still chemicals.
Yeah.
And in those chemicals, or in that water, that chemicalized water, there's obviously also probably products in there. So specifically, it's potentially becoming a biohazard or biohazardous scenario.
When you look at it, it's kind of difficult for me to wrap my mind around how we keep coming up with these projects. I mean, they are genius projects if you look at it. I mean, garment factory, who would not want that? But
I would say yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bring it up.
Yeah.
But we have a garment factory that was inaugurated with all the cutting ribbons and stuff in 2022, when 2025 it has not gotten into operation. And the question is why?
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, the why question is based upon what this whole report highlights, Helmut. First and foremost, up to till today.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best to be as soft as possible. So, dear listeners, if you don't know who the particular parties to this particular discussion or this report is, it's the Namibia Industrial Development Agency, NIDA.
Yeah.
It's this committee from the National Council, the Standing Committee of Public Affairs and Economy. Public accounts and economy, and it's the regional authorities regional and local authorities across the country where these particular projects are. So the projects that we're looking at and that we're highlighting is the Homs Eye project in Keetmanshoop. It's the Nauta irrigation farm. It's the Nauta crystal distillery. It's the biomass project, the Otjevarongo small medium enterprises parks. It's two projects, just to let you know. Biomass project and Otjevarongo small medium enterprises parks, the Grootfontein / Omolunga industrial park, the Manyeha crocodile farm in Zambezi, the Kavango cattle ranch, the Nkurunkuru garment factory, and the Ondangwa tannery where Helmut was now focusing on. So just so that you know, dear listeners, these are literally the projects and the report is based upon. Now, the report highlights, Helmut, that there was a previous engagement that the committee had with NIDA and these various particular facilities about these facilities across the country. That's why at the start of this report, they highlight certain particular things that should be satisfied in NIDA's favor. For example, NIDA is under Ministry of Industrialization and Trade and Ministry of Finance. But as of 2025, after
That means they have to report to two ministries. Yeah.
But now, after 21 March 2025, obviously now the whole world knows now, meaning the whole Namibia, that Ministry of Industrialization and Trade doesn't exist anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because industrialization is at Ministry of Mines, and Trade is at Ministry of International Relations.
Huh.
Just so the people know that. That ministry does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Because those two parts were split up and they were positioned at two different ministries.
Yeah, and that's not something new.
That's not something new.
Yeah, every administration seems, you know, has a way of, you know.
But here is, once again, the massive cat between the chickens or in the chicken coop. Most of these projects, all of these projects are agriculturally associated projects.
Where is the Ministry of Agriculture?
Why is the minister? Why has these? Why? Thank you, Helmut. Thank you. Thank you. You see, when we started back on 13 January with the discussion of we are supposed to meet soft industry development or soft industry introductions, which is literally the garment factory of Nkurunkuru, the tannery of Ntangwa, the Homs Eye project in Kitmanswap. All three of them speak towards using resources or inputs from agricultural processes to manufacture clothing. You know, our underwear and toothpicks that Omulemba used to talk about, that is what we're supposed to satisfy.
You know, now that you pointed it out, you know, look, going through, you know, going through the report, you see a lot of NIDA and a lot of Ministry of Information Technology, Ministry of Finance,
Industrialization
and Trade, MIT, yeah. Yeah. Not MICT.
Yeah.
MIT, which is now, you know, just split up and now it's, the, you know, the directorate under different ministries.
And we don't know who is saying what.
But on the bright side, the Ministry of Agriculture is still there. At least, you know, they can,
but they now have fisheries with them.
Yeah. You see, this committee, even before they went out on this, fact finding mission as the standing committee, you know, from National Assembly likes to call them, I don't remember them anywhere in the report mentioning that they consulted with the Ministry of Agriculture.
Nope.
It was just the NIDA,
not
industrialization
even,
and trade.
Not even the abbreviations that they've got on, let me see this page. What's this page? This is like the first three pages of the report.
Where they have the abbreviations.
Yeah. No, they do. They did. They did. They did make mention of Ministry of Agriculture and the Water and Land Reform.
Awesome.
But it seems like it's more like a secondary role because a lot of the engagement is with NIDA and Ministry of Industrialization and Trade.
Yeah, because is it because we are not at a farming level.
Yeah,
we are at a how you convert whatever produce that you are farming.
And Ministry of Finance even is like also on the same level as agriculture. They're like in a secondary, you know, they're only mentioned. They're mentioned as being part of this, let's say, supposed reporting functions that many of the entities and NIDA has to do, specifically NIDA. Because NIDA has to report to agriculture here, to industrialization and trade here, and they have to report to finance over here. That was the picture before 21 March.
Yeah.
Which also presents another conundrum. Who actually approves the financing?
Because I would assume it's Ministry of Finance.
Are we sure about that? Because if NIDA has to report to Minister of Industrialization and Trade, because last year, Helmut, at Industrialization and Trade's, one of their functions, they had a nice banner. They've got this banner, just like this banner that we've got here.
Of course,
Eagle FM products and all that. They had a nice big banner for their public relations, needs that showed all the agencies that falls in their mandate. But remember, Ministry of Finances, the other part of their name says, and public enterprises, ne? NIDA is there. BIPA is there for MIT. NIDA is there. BIPA is there. What's the other one's name? The one with the the lady that used to, that the agency that didn't like to answer phone calls from us. Yeah, because I myself tried a few times. I tried myself a few times. Justicia tried herself a few times. What was that agency's name? Namibia Chamber of, no, it's not Chamber of Commerce. It's not NCCI, but it's another particular agency. They are there under that. They were there under that MIT umbrella. There was someone else as well. There was another particular agency as well that they also had, that I also frowned at, like, is that a government agency as well? However, me coming back now from that small particular
detour.
The important thing to highlight there, Helmut, is the, if you see this ministry, one ministry says these are the agencies under our umbrella for, you know, impacting industrialization and MSME development, then you realize somehow they probably approve a budget. Somehow.
Okay.
Because we know that BIPA is a designated, what's the thing's name? A designated
SOE.
SOE.
Yeah.
You and I know that INIDA is a designated SOE.
Yeah.
And so to all the other SOEs, because NHE would find itself under urban and rural development, but the urban and the obviously the budget for urban and rural development has to, for everyone else, which also includes the local authorities, has to flow through that ministry from Ministry of Finance. Now, if you need to ask yourself in terms of, does this double reporting standard actually speak towards a aspect of being in control of, or actually trying to authenticate spending by SOEs? Just imagine to yourself as well, Al, Roads Authority under Ministry of Transport, but Roads Authority also has to report to Ministry of Finance. Just imagine that.
Okay, now, if they screwed up, who would hold them accountable? Roads Authority or Finance? Transport or Finance?
But this would obviously show you that there are two, that this looks like a double entry system in accounting.
That's interesting.
In terms of this discussion. Now, I recently, remember that professor, that accounting professor from the University of Sheffield in the UK that I sent you the video about? The guy with a white beard and white hair, who was obviously talking about, you know, the impacts that, you know, there's certain particular economic impacts that are happening in the world. He came up, now he seems to release videos every day, this professor. One of them was in last week where he spoke about how British politicians have to work and function on the accounting principle of double entry. Have you ever done accounting?
No.
On school?
Oh, yeah, I did, but, you know, I got a U. My teacher's really hot.
Ah, Helmut. Ah, Helmut. You just literally threw the explainer now into the water. But anyway. So, remember back to the fundamentals that you learned on high school.
Yeah.
You had the general ledger, which is technically about the double entry system. Double entry system says if you take money from one account and you're going to shift it to another account, right? The one gets a positive reflection. The other one has a negative reflection because you're taking money from it and you're giving money somewhere else. So the double entry system is about if you impact something here or affect something here, there's going to be an impact somewhere else. Now his particular discussion in that video was about.
So the book you are taking the money from is going to be negative, and the book you are putting the money into. Will have a positive.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Ad break creeping up on us.
Yeah.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car.
Mula when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto cash, it's that simple.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Sixteen past the hour of five. Welcome back.
Yeah. So, where I left off. So the double entry system, it seems like the reason as to why all SOEs have to report double is so that the stories are the same and it doesn't just come through one.
Or like for transparency purposes or something?
It seems so. It seems that this is now technically what I'm realizing as a light bulb moment now here in studio on air for the home run. It's literally light bulb moment going like, huh. So it's to ensure that the story is the same when monies were basically allocated for budget for projects. But
there are two stories that sound somewhat a little the same.
Yeah.
Grootfontein.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Otjikarongo.
Kate Maswell.
Yeah. Oh, the non. Let me first hear your sentence, Elmo. Because I know Kiermansop has issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, according to, let me just get with the report, the part of the report I want to emphasize and draw a comparison to the Grootfontein, to the Grootfontein example.
Mm.
Although it was not part of the program, to get a clarity on water and electricity dissections, on that project I can't pronounce.
Mm.
A lot of clicks there. The committee took a decision to meet the municipality of Ketmaswop. Now, the reason for this was to find out the municipality has done with regards to the communication between them and NIDA. So this is outstanding water bills. And, some type of,
electricity.
Outstanding water outstanding water bills that was, that's Grootfontein.
No, Ketmaswop as well.
Holy cow.
Because the largest is at Kiepensop, at 3.4 million.
Oh, dear. The reason was to find out the municipality, what the municipality has done with regards to the communication between them and NIDA that has initiated regarding water and electricity and its decision that the park needs to close due to the closure of water and the cutting of electricity. Now, and if you go all the way, you find one very nice letter that seems to be, I think this letter was scanned.
Mm. No, this whole thing was scanned.
Yeah.
This whole report.
This thing doesn't have a page. Yeah. To the honorable, I think this is the letter that was written by individuals operating, tenants of the Omulunga Industrial Park in Grootfontein with a situation that's somewhat similar. Where the water, where the water in that area was closed down and, the bills was obviously, because of piling up bills. But the tenants did not have the luxury of paying the water bills directly to the municipality. Now, the communication was somewhat questionable. Now, when the tenants, according to them, wanted to, to see if they can pay the water directly, NIDA told them they can't do that.
Here's the worst of it. At that Grootfontein discussion, Helmut, or it's either at Otjikarongo, two of the tenants in that one industrial park went directly to organize with the local authority for prepaid water meters to have access to water for their particular business services. Now, also like the example like you highlighted in the Grootfontein area, the understanding was supposed to be an agreement between NIDA and the
municipality.
The municipality, the local authority.
Yeah.
NIDA was owing them water. I was owing them outstanding payments.
Which is why the local authority switched,
switched it off. Or disconnected it. Yeah.
Disconnected, yeah.
Yeah. In Kiertmanshoop with the Homs Ei project, NIDA owes Kiertmanshoop 3.4 million. 2.4 for the electricity and 1 million for water. Let me say it again. 3.4.
Now, that seems to me like there's some type of more like arrangement or legislative, or more like structural or organizational issues that must be worked out here. Because according, there are some of the tenants from the Grootfontein area that seem to, now according, if you go through their letter, you see that some of them are pointing out that if it was up to them, they would be paying for the water bills directly.
Mm.
Now, that's the, but the challenge they face is, these have piled it, especially for the, for the Omlunga Industrial Park in Grootfontein, it has piled up to, these guys said $250,000. Now,
versus 3.4.
Yeah. Now, look, according to them, paying more like, take for example on prepaid services for, it may seem would be much easier. So in other words, don't wait for the bill to pile up this high.
But to who are you saying that, Helmut? Are you saying it to the...
NIDA or the local authority?
But that's the thing. Because it says, for example, like here, when they met with the Kiertmanshoop municipality, right? Uh-huh. This is now the standing committee.
Yeah.
So when they got to the Kiertmanshoop discussion, so I remember I mentioned the project's name, the Homs Ei project.
Mm-hmm.
They heard... Okay, so the standing committee wanted clarity on the water and electricity disconnections at the Homs Ei project.
Yeah.
Because the committee took a decision to meet with the municipality. The municipality explained to them that that they wanted to find out, has the municipality done anything in their power to communicate anything to NIDA? That was obviously to initiate or, regarding the status of the accounts of water and electricity supply. The municipality confirmed that there is communication between them and NIDA regarding the closure of the Homs Ei, which technically explains to me, this is when they went and said, we are switching off because you owe us.
Yeah.
Here's the bill. That's what it sounds like to me. Because they're saying it's regarding the disconnection. We communicated regarding the disconnection.
Disconnection. Not the piling up deal.
Not the piling up. Not following up payments. Not understanding when are you going
to
pay.
Are we up to date with the payments or stuff? Yeah. Nope. We waited for
them. What does it look like? How will you pay? Are you sure you can pay? Is your financial situation okay? Remember, this is government to government.
Then no, we don't do that. We don't do what follow up. We just wait until they switch up, switch off, then follow up.
And it's usually a guy showing up with fell schooner, a shorty, and a hat, and then he says, "Yeah, you know what? I come from the water and electricity department. I'm here to switch off." And then he doesn't care. He just switches off.
This is someone who is sent to do a job. So.
Yeah. So regarding that discussion, you can clearly see in that sentence it says, well, we communicated on the disconnection.
Not on the payments.
Not anything before disconnecting. So in that scenario, you obviously see how, how bad the communication is.
The equivalent of that is, the best equivalent or more like equivalent of that I can find is, I know my car. Now. Look,
Okay, look.
I will only fix when it starts shaking. Yeah.
When the engine flies off,
Oh, when you see the wheels run past you.
Yeah, that's when you're like, okay, you know what? I think I need wheel alignment. So, man, that statement. Now, the municipality informed the committee that NIDA's debt for electricity was 2.4 million.
Read that sentence. Continue with that sentence.
And for water stands at 1 million. NIDA has not made any attempt to make payments in the last four. And they made sure that, you know, you did not miss the figure, put in bracket there, you know, the number four. So you don't miss it. 4 years, that's the municipality took the decision to cut off water and electricity.
So in between, there's been three financial years.
How do you miss financial follow-ups for four financial years? Or let's make it three. Yeah. This is a serious management question.
No, it is, Helmut, because that is three financial years of the government in that four-year period. Three financial year period.
If we can go back to what the former minister of finance, Pumbushimi said to those two ladies that asked why the housing for those that are running from things like domestic violence were not provided funding for. His response was like, those shelters are under the ministry of, that's a ministry of home affairs, safety and security.
Mm-hmm. Was it home affairs?
Did he say
gender affairs?
Minister of gender. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, yeah, those ones are under Minister of Gender. Now, what they do, what the Ministry of Finance does is just, distribute the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on their procurement plans, something they also, by the way, we have been informed they are terrible at doing.
Mm.
For three financial years, the Ministry of Finance have been allocating money to NIDA, not at once did someone say, you know what, get my swap. We have this bill. We have this water bill to the municipality of that area.
Yeah.
You know, how about we just maybe, I don't know, take a fraction of it?
Do you know for how long that bill is outstanding for?
You know what?
They say 4 years. They're probably talking about the last time it was paid on.
It was 4 years ago.
So we also have to look at a period before that potential last payment. What was the tendency to pay?
Oh no! Look.
And before that, obviously, you have to account for 2020, which is COVID.
Yeah, I really like I'm really loving these reports, for two reasons. One, I have a microphone in my face every day. Yeah. Two, I don't work for any of these entities, so I just, we just read their reports and then cook them. Now, newsflash, you and I, if we go out there and look for a job, we are done.
They'll be like, so, you'll be cooking us on air again.
Part of the interview, before your interview, they will play one of the podcasts. I like,
so this is what you say about us?
Yeah.
That's what you think about it. Yeah.
Now, according to the committee, the meeting concluded that there is a need to have an urgent stakeholder engagement. Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding. You don't say. It's been three financial years.
Four. Just count the 4 years. But in those three, you can put three financial years.
So they were, the committee recommended that this stakeholder engagement takes place before the 15th of March. Someone please provide the report on what went there. But before we continue, commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. It's half past the hour of five. Or half to the hour of six. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. There are a few things that I want to point out in, you know, in this whole, Grootfontein, scenario. this is a group of tenants, that took it upon themselves to write a letter to the minister. That's how crazy it is. Like, you know what? This communication is not going anywhere. Just decided, we're just going to write a letter to the minister. So they wrote a letter to the ministry directly, to the minister of industrialization and trade, Lucia Ipumbo at the time. But, I mean, it's a giant thing. So, our lease agreement state that the leases, aka the tenants, are responsible for the leases are responsible for water, but the units don't have proper water meters. They are not acceptable to the municipality to the Grootfontein municipality. And the contract with the municipality with the Grootfontein municipality is made with NIDA. Now, not with a single lessee of the units. So we don't get a bill for water neither from the municipality nor NIDA. How can we pay? Now, I don't know if they really have the capacity to pay, but I would, they were not given, but I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But until now, nobody of the lessees have received a bill of water. We have in fact offered. Now, that's my favorite part. We have, in fact, offered to NIDA to pay our recent, rent directly to Grootfontein municipality to assist in settling the outstanding debt. But NIDA refused permission to do so. The effect is that the outstanding account increases every single month without any solution being offered by NIDA. Now, this is, parts of me does not blame NIDA for telling them not to pay directly to the municipality, because first of all, you need a proper structure that's laid out that allows for that. Because if you just channel it directly, then there's some kind of, mismanagement. Who is going to be held accountable?
But here's the thing, Helmut.
Yeah.
It's one property, right? This SME park. Yeah. So it's look at it as a property.
Mm-hmm.
One SME park. But in the SME park, you've got multiple people that are the tenants.
Yeah.
Multiple people in it that need it for their particular economic activities. Now, the question, like the structure thing that you speak of, uh-huh. The question would be, do the tenants pay something to NIDA as a rental fee? Which has been one of the things, for example, that they highlighted there.
Mm-hmm.
There is one such particular SME park where there's like a rental fee discussion. And... Oh no, sorry. I'm talking about the Nauta thing in the Nauta Crystal Distillery in outside Kitmans in the south.
The one that's privately owned.
Or is it the grape farm? Because the issue there is that it's a South African marketing agency that is in control of pricing and seeing what monies are being paid, and then NIDA just gets a lump sum of payment. So they don't know what are the market prices. They don't know who are the buyers and the consumers and customers.
Is that industrialization or, franchise?
To me, it sounds like, no, franchising would be you also in charge of pricing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because in a franchise, Helmut, the product and the brand are associated to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine KFC. Now, if you showed up at a KFC, which is Harland Sanders' product, if you show up there and you were getting fried chicken, no, you were getting Portuguese style made fried chicken in mm-hmm. oil and grease
mm-hmm.
and not Harland Sanders' recipe.
You'd be like,
and the branding and the signage are something, are literally what is on the franchise, but the product in your box is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then you obviously see there's a major disconnect.
Yeah.
So that's almost like, no, you take it and continue with what you're doing. The discussion here, Helmut, is like I highlighted. If there was a, you highlighted the word structure. So yeah. The structure could take two forms. One being invoices or accounts, you know, documents are issued to the tenants.
By the, on the local property. Authority.
Yeah, by the local authority. On the property.
Okay.
Or it comes through NIDA to the tenants. And the tenants know that there's a trust mechanism because this is about trust, because they are paying for something and they would like to see an enactment of service provision on the other side, because if they know they're paying for something, they're getting it.
Mm.
But here, the local authority comes, switches off, because the tenants thought that NIDA was on top of things. NIDA was paying the account.
They were not.
And the tenants then try to take things by the, you know, take things in the control, take control by themselves, try to resolve things themselves because they need water. Probably some of them are, have to deal with food.
Yeah.
And they try to pay for service directly. And they were told, no, you can't do that. Why can't you do that?
Because that's not how things work.
Supposed to. Because if you go to the Grootfontein issue,
mm-hmm.
where two of the tenants got prepaid meter facilities installed to their...
Grootfontein or Chivarongo?
I think it's Ochivarongo. No, it's Ochivarongo. Where they got two prepaid water meters installed on their, in their stalls, why could they do that there? Because that is a very key thing to ask.
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. NIDA suggested, that's a Grootfontein. NIDA suggested that we leases must install our own water meters. Does that even work? But this is a fixed installation and must be one that, must be done by the owner of the premises.
Which is NIDA.
Yeah, that's the owner of the premises, the one that's saying that, you know what, install your own.
But for some of the tenants, they said, no, you cannot go directly to the local authority. Do you see the hidden miss with the communication?
Oh, a big one. Now, furthermore, the water only will be reconnected after the total payment of the outstanding amount. In other words, right now, because we are $250,000 in debt, because of this $250,000 bill, even if I installed my water meter today out of my own pocket.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the water will still not be connected until that bill is settled. That's according to this letter that was, I'm glad the standing committee did not summarize the letter. They just scanned the whole thing and then throw it in the report. Genius. Like, you know what? We are not putting words in anyone's mouth here.
Here is the communication.
But, I think, communication issue, or more like miscommunication thereof, is what keeps popping up every time that we have this discussion, especially regarding the status of projects. What's one of the biggest elephant in the room in the Oshakati Do discussion?
Mm.
Communication.
Yep.
Yeah, because the standing committee went to, met the Minister of Works guys on the ground. They were like, well, this one is not on us. This one is not on us. Look, we are being slow because of we have to follow the procurement process.
Yeah.
And one thing that was pointed out again in that report is that sometimes on some projects or some plans, changes are made without letting other people know, including the National Planning Commission.
Who are the stakeholders? All of them are all stakeholders.
At which point are like, National Planning Commission, if you are not going through the planning guys, what the heck are you doing?
Helmut, there are systems, and remember this gets back to our decentralization discussion that we had, the Decentralization Act. Now, remember that the Decentralization Act has been dormant for 25 years, a whole generation. Brought out in 2000, we've been sitting with this act, but everything is so highly centralized. Because in the start of this report, the committee is telling NIDA, you need to decentralize yourself. Why? Because wherever they went at the 8 or 7 projects across the country, sometimes they found a NIDA representative there, and sometimes the NIDA representative was not there. Remember, this is agro-processing. We're supposed to have this jumpstart.
You know, our own tomato sauce?
Well, no, there's a Namibian company. Yeah, I told you. I bought the other day a $20 tomato sauce bottle. But because it's in a plastic bottle, and they give you in a smaller quantity than what Old Gold South Africa, which gives you in a glass bottle. Because Old Gold can justify how they got to that $26 Namibian price tag.
I'm telling you, Old Gold is super stubborn. Everyone moved from bottle to plastic. Old Gold was like, nah.
But Helmut, they know why that their product is still being bought. I know it. Even. Bottling in glass is safer than bottling in plastic. Firstly.
Yeah.
Bottling in glass is safer than bottling in plastic. It's just glass is an expensive product to make. So what does a company do? They cut a cost. They buy the plastic.
Because it's cheaper.
Cheaper to make, easier to bottle, quicker to get out. But now you need to wait on your glass manufacturer to supply you with your glass bottle.
And then they say, you know, grocery store nightmare of cleanup in aisle 4.
And then it's just splinters in tomato sauce. Now you don't know if it's blood or tomato sauce.
Yeah, just eat nutritional fiber.
But anyway, so when we're looking when we're looking at this discussion, right?
Yeah.
The discussion at the heart of this has been, these were projects that were supposed to springboard Namibia's industrialization, even though it's owned and partially controlled by the government. Because this is literally government participation in industrialization, which has been the realm across the world. But here's the thing. If you have petty cash issues on a farm, or you have the facilities no longer in use because the agency in charge of the facility owes the local authority $3.4 million in water and electricity, then how are you going to get to your industrialization level? I could literally see the issues here, but here is my biggest issue. Who is the market for most of these things? Leave the SME parks.
Mm-hmm.
The big ones. Also, leave the other one that's also in the Karas region. The one about the grapes that are being sold in South Africa.
So we are looking at the garment factory and the tannery, for example.
Who is the market? Actually the Kavango cattle ranch.
Yeah.
The garment factory, the tannery. There's a third one. I don't know if it's a tannery or a garment factory or garment facility as well. It's the biomass project as well. And it's the
biomass, that's energy, right?
Yeah.
Well, last time I checked, we need energy. Why not just, call NamPower?
And NamPower is almost done with their own biomass facility, also in that same vicinity of Ochotonchupa, region. It's there between Otjiwarongo and Grootfontein as well.
Now we have 15 minutes to go. Let me just now let's get to the most to the part that I found, you know, as you know, the most painful.
There's a painful part, Amo.
It's all painful, basically. You know, one is some parts more painful than the other.
Mm.
The situation now. We have now. Let's give Oshodenjupa a break. Let's go to Oshana. The governor indicated that there is nothing happening at the tannery. Of course, there is nothing. But you know, just skip all that, and then you go to the most important part. The situation at the tannery remains the same. No operations, despite the caretakers who are, despite the caretakers who are at the, who are at the tannery. And it was further indicated that $500,000 Namibian dollars was set aside 2024-2025 financial year to be used for fencing of the new pond. And there are, there are discussions going on between NIDA and the National Youth Service to fence off the pond. Pardon me. Nice to know we didn't fence it from the beginning. But
ask yourself, Amut, does this sound similar to the Oshikati I quote?
Look, I'm just saying, that's the first thing I would have done.
Yeah.
But, build a structure and don't fence it. And then now it's in operation. Now, the fear is vandalism, obviously. Yeah, there is a,
unnecessary accidents.
Asset forfeiture.
No, not asset forfeiture. The other one. Remember, why do you have a pond next to a processing plant? That means you've got slurry. You've got waste products coming out.
Yeah.
I call it slurry, but slurry is a term that you use in mining.
Mm-hmm.
A slurry is that thing where you wash off the soil, the sand,
like the sludge at the bottom.
Yeah. And then you only want the resource in its unprocessed format. So you're washing off everything else, but you're also using a chemical agent to wash things off.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the resource sits in another rock and you need that chemical agent to dissolve that rock around the resource.
The resource that you want.
Because you're not standing there with physical people on
separating it one by one.
And chopping out. No, this is not DRC. This is not even West Africa. Other parts of it. This is literally, they automated that process. They put it through something. It washes everything off. The impurities are sent one side. The actual thing that you want are sent one side. And some byproducts are kept in another scenario.
Moving on. The committee, we're still in Oshana, by the way.
Yeah.
The committee again observed fresh skin that belongs to the caretakers. No kidding. This observation was also made during the visit in 2023. Now, caretakers are former employees of the tannery. Yeah, caretakers are former employees of the tannery who remained behind and volunteered to look after the facility after its closure. You see?
So it's standing dormant.
It's standing dormant. They are patriotic Namibians here.
They are not volunteering.
I wanted it to be positive, dude.
No, Hamut.
Mm-hmm.
They are not volunteering.
They are volunteering out of the kindness of their hearts.
By potentially using the facilities that are there.
They are not using, they just have fresh cowhide lying around for fun.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
Wink, wink.
A very big one.
At least it's not like the Kiertmanswoop one where they just left the facility after the water and electricity was switched off.
Like, well, you know, don't worry, we'll take care of it. At least they are using it. You can't tell me there's a cowhide in 2023 visit and then there's cowhide in 2025 visit and it's just
the they're using the facility.
It's just all by accident. Volunteering. Of course. Let's be diplomatic now, shall we? Volunteering. Now.
Volunteering, yeah.
The committee was further informed, I'm assuming by volunteers. never going to hear the end of it.
Yeah, people volunteer.
Yeah.
Look, they work for free.
Look.
Oh, they were using things for free.
Look, I like those guys.
They were volunteering to
I
use
mean, that's it. A genius. I mean,
we're volunteers.
The term volunteer itself is an art of work. I mean, it's a work of art.
Now, and it just so happens that the tank or the tanks are just standing full of water.
Yeah, first standing full of water. And there's fresh cowhide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone did not camp off the pond.
No.
Or fence off the pond.
No.
But there's fresh cowhide.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the committee was further informed that drums are still standing with with water and skin hide since the last operation.
That's why I told you.
Which poses a risk of course. It, okay, now, let's go in. Let's start at the top here. The committee again observed fresh skins that belongs to caretakers. Oh, come on. That sentence must be, it's a giveaway.
But before we continue, we've got a small ad read to quickly get through. Velvice University. This is the Velvice University September intake 2025. These are for all programs that are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a 1-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife, or accoucheur, level 6. This is a 2-year course available full-time in Windhoek, in Kurenkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, level 6. This is a 2-year course available full-time in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4-year course available full-time in Windhoek, in Kurenkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1-year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1-year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 May to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Now,
you were still saying, Helen.
Yeah, I was saying.
Fresh hide.
Two sentences in this, in this Ondangwa tannery discussion.
Yeah.
Two sentences. Sentence number one. First sentence, which is just too fishy to ignore, is that the committee on their visit observed, the committee again. Observed fresh skins that belongs to the caretakers. Why did they say again? Well, because this observation was also made during the visit in October of 2023. Now, fresh cowhide that belongs to caretakers. Mm-hmm. And then you scroll a little bit to the bottom there, then you see that the committee was further informed that the drums were still standing with water and skin hide since the last operations. I'm not sure since, first of all, when was the last operation of the machine, not the company? Because, if we just look at the last operation of the machine, I'm going to say the last operation is a little sooner than it's more recent. But, well, that's just me. Look. If you ask me, construction-wise, when it comes to setting up these pieces of infrastructure, we're doing great. But, keeping them running is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, setting it up is, it's a very good accomplishment, as you can imagine, after a few speeches during the inauguration ceremonies of these, of these facilities. But after that, what are we doing? And then that brings up now your question. Who is our market?
Who is our market, Alan? Because if you've got volunteers that are just sitting with a facility right there, and I know it wasn't for the standing committee, Hamu, to ask for receipts. Show me the receipt that it is your hide. Give me proof that it is your hide.
No.
It wasn't there. It technically wasn't their job because that committee came there to see what is the status of things.
Is it in operation?
Is it in operation?
Yeah.
Is it under the stewardship and care that you would assume would be applied on a facility.
Mm-hmm.
The same to also, and I like bringing in the Kitmanshoop Business Park.
Mm-hmm.
The park is abandoned because of the electricity and water outstanding bill of 3.4 million.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't know what happened there. But the guy takes the, there was a specific sort of like a enterprise that had NIDA paid for machinery. He takes the machinery from this facility to a private property facility, keeps it there, doesn't pay rent there, and NIDA also doesn't pay rent there, but and this is where the standing committee asks, they don't see, you know, like in, what's that thing that they call in asset management, you have a little thing on, for example, like every chair, you've got a little code, a barcode on the PC, on everything that belongs to a company.
Yeah.
You have, and that's the asset management department of your accounting or finance department. They need to ensure all assets when the auditors come are accounted for. Now, the committee decides in Komket Mansoop to do a asset-based observation where money was paid for, for machinery. Ne? It's at the Homs Eye project. To pay money that was paid for machinery. But when they go to the Dangwa tannery, the volunteers on site tell them, no, those are our hides.
Yeah, but it's not in operation.
it's our hides, don't worry.
Yeah.
Now, you and I know, Helmut, that a factory has to buy something, inputs, for it to produce what it wants, what it has to produce.
Yep.
So the question would have been, that's just why we kept saying volunteers, supposedly, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Are we sure that those are not hides that whoever was in charge of that facility had purchased as an input for the machines to have something to work from? Because Helmut, if I come to you with an input now, I have to pay you. You're sitting with the facility.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that has to sell you the input. So I'm coming to you. Please buy my inputs because I hear you need input to produce something at the other end.
Dwight, you're missing something.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing something. And that something is,
the volunteers.
They again observed fresh cowhide, 22, you know.
Yeah. But here's the thing. There are volunteers, which are the caretakers. The facility belongs to
patriotic caretakers.
The facility belongs to NIDA. There are volunteers and there's fresh cowhide.
Yeah.
The question is, Ahmed,
has the facility really been standing still? But please go on.
The question is, how a factory works. A factory has to buy inputs.
Yeah. Raw material, basically.
Yeah. Well, it can be raw material. It could be auxiliary products. For example, you are buying nails to put on the final thing.
Yeah.
While processing the semi-processed thing. Now, hence the reason I'm asking you the question. They decided to do a audit, kind of an audit-based observation in Komket Mansoop. But then they get there and they are told, now we are the volunteers here.
Yeah.
Those are our hides, don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's fresh, it's ours, and it's, you know.
And they don't sit there below that observation. We need to understand who was really in charge.
Who's the owner of this stuff?
Who's really in charge of things? They don't put that observation there. Which also shows a little bit, probably these guys were tired, Helmut, because, I mean, this was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Of traveling up and down the country.
Yeah.
That this committee had to do. So it's clearly, and it's literally like in a very congested time and frame. But consistency is a particular thing that I'm obviously highlighting here.
Now, here's the thing. Investors. Yep. Oceana Region negotiated with an investor from Italy. We're still on there. With an investor from Italy who was willing to come in and produce shoes and everything, was on track, but the investor withdrew because of the delay tactics. That's the word, the term I found interesting.
Yeah.
Delay tactics.
Yeah.
This is, this local authority now firing shots at NIDA. Delay tactics from NIDA. Now, they didn't explain what delay tactics was. Now, that's what they're pointing to, towards as to what led to the Italian investor who wanted to come and start, you know, producing shoes from the fresh cowhide, now lying there.
Operated by volunteers.
Operated by volunteers. But, you know, whoever,
whoever told the standing committee this. my God.
Look how
there's a fresh corner somewhere.
With a straight face.
In the afterlife for you. With that word volunteer. And it's our fresh cowhide. There's a special corner for you.
Yeah, bro. And in that tank is more cowhide with water, but it's definitely not ours.
That situation, that polluted situation, it's not us.
That's not us. Yeah. But this cowhide here, this one on the other hand.
Definitely.
Yeah, this one is us.
Yeah. This is definitely us.
Look, whoever said, bread and butter discussions are boring. No, they have not come across these reports.
No, it's not. Well, obviously they didn't come across us here at Eagle FM.
They didn't.
Doing that's this kind of analysis.
Yeah. But, okay, we have a structure that's standing, and all we just need is someone with investment capabilities, especially, you know, monetary ones, to come and launch operations at that facility. Yeah. Now, this is a tannery, so obviously, you know, you're talking about leather goods.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. What is our private sector interested in? In terms of investment, like the people with money, like not foreign direct investors, like our local investors, what are they interested in investing in? And is there a way that we can, set up these facilities as bait for them to come and invest in? Because the fact that we have a garment factory and a tannery that is standing still, it shows that, I think that shows that a lot of local investors are not interested in that.
Helmut, and this is where I once again said, everywhere else in the world, I see private sector having the ability to move something.
Yeah.
But when you see the planning of the public sector, it's just waste.
More of a misalignment between.
Nah, so it's worse. That's why I told you, this report is more like you're watching a cricket match, but it's one guy playing the match. He's bowling and batting at the same time. So he's bowling to himself while he's missing to strike the ball. Do you understand what I'm highlighting here?
Yeah, definitely.
Because the downside of this is, you go into, what's this clothing shop here in Namibia? Woolworths.
Yeah.
Woolworths has huge banners, Helmut. Huge banners saying, buy local South African.
Yeah.
Made by South Africans for South Africans.
Yeah.
100% cotton products, linen products. I stand there, Helmut, going like, this is a large retail enterprise.
Yeah.
That invested back into supply chains. To be sure that they have supply into their stores. That business is so big, Helmut. It has expanded to the UK and into
Australia
and New Zealand.
Yeah.
And at one stage also into Asia. Now I'm asking you, Helmut, if you've got resources of the government behind you and you are told resources are finite from financial year to financial year.
Yeah.
Firstly, there's something that they first need to get right in all our ministries and these SOEs. Understand who is your market.
Yeah.
To find out, Helmut, did you and I know about Inkurinkuru's garment factory? No, we didn't. Remember when we did the Inkurinkuru town planning discussion last year?
Yeah.
In that video and it's the same National Council guys. Okay.
Yeah,
not the same standing committee. It was the other one on housing.
Yeah.
That same, and they come from the same National Council, cadre of representatives. They had the town planner standing there, highlighting to everyone, and we have the national census and the labor force survey reports saying that there's only 10,000 people in that town. There's only 10,000 people in that town. If that thing started producing, that factory could then start selling into the rest of the country. at all garment shops, shops that sell clothing. Here is what we want to do, and this is what we got to do, and this is what we got to do. How in what world do you just have that factory standing empty? My next question would have been, what would have been the inputs? And that's now obviously where you got to understand, where are the, what's the thing's name? The material.
Mm-hmm.
The textile input.
Where's it coming from?
Where's it coming from? Because like you and I also did the discussion last year, or no, it was the year before that, when I discovered we are producing cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where the cotton is going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now, see, now that's a very interesting one because, the hoodie I'm wearing is 100% cotton.
Yeah.
Guess where it's made? So Canada.
In Canada?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, we bought it for this print.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still gonna have to ask that dude, like how he
got it here.
Yeah. Got it, you know, all the way from Canada. Mm-hmm. Chances are very high someone is, so he's buying them either from South Africa. Maybe.
No, but that's exactly the discussion here, which highlights the impact of globalization. Because here's the thing, Hamoud. If you had that garment factory operating,
yeah.
It could sell into Angola, it could sell into Zambia, it can sell into Zimbabwe, the rest of Namibia, that thing would be making business. But it seems like we don't even know what that thing's aim is supposed to be.
That part is where you have, yours truly, moi. Nkuru Capital Projects, in our standing committee report, from the National Assembly. One thing that they pointed out, the committee further expressed that their disappointment to the poor attendance. Now, this is their finding. Okay, now that's the finding. That's the poor attendance of the local authority representatives in Nkuru. Mm. They were basically NIDA 2.0. The committee observed with disappointment that majority of the projects planned to the Kavango East were not implemented. No, not that one. The committee further expressed their disappointment in the poor attendance. That's not the part I'm looking for. During the visit to Nkuru Industrial Park, members found that the garment factory that was built at the park is still vacant, although it was inaugurated in 2022. Mm. Machinery that was purchased in 2003 is collecting dust at the facility. Members were informed that the factory is likely to be occupied only in September of 2024. this is interesting, both management wise and volunteer wise. I'm happy to point out, David is here to also volunteer and,
us like thumb sideways, Jason.
David and Zapia here to also volunteer like those, Oshana Tannery. Guys, but, you guys keep volunteering with until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. I hope you're all prepared for, Genocide Remembrance Day.
How do you prepare for that, Hamoud?
I don't know, historical wise.
Not fighting, please. No fighting, guys. On that note, let's end it right.
Zafia is not playing.
Yeah.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Ouri mnangeshefa nohara kushivifa oma akuro yokupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono rahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe, no hamano. That is 081714.